Peace. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you again. I consider this my spiritual family. We're all one. There's no difference. People still ask me, Robert, what do you see when you look at us? Do you see energy? Do you see consciousness? Do you see a play of lights? Do you see emptiness? If I saw any of those things, I wouldn't be able to function. I see what you see. You. The only difference is I realize I am not the body. And when I say I am not the body, I'm speaking of the universal body, which contains you. Therefore, if I am not the body, and I see that, I see that you are also not the body. I simply see the world as superimposed images on the screen. But I am always aware that you are images, and so is the body, and so are the trees, and the sky, and the planets, and the animals, and the insects, and everything else. For some reason, I'm always aware of that. I'm aware that it's like a bubble, and the bubble bursts, and the reality expresses itself as consciousness. Therefore, I see you as you see me, but I see you as consciousness, the reality. Well, I see you as I see myself, as a screen. And the whole universe is simply a superimposition on the screen. I do not see you as a human being. I do not see this radio, or the lamp, or this table as an entity of itself. I see it as consciousness. This doesn't mean that consciousness manifested these things. As I always explain, consciousness is self-contained and only manifests itself. These things are like optical illusions. They do not really exist. As a dream does not really exist. In the dream, you're carrying on, you're flying back and forth from New York to California. You're experiencing all kinds of things in your life. And everything appears to be real, but you wake up and the bubble is burst. So I guess the only difference between you and me is that I'm always aware of that. If you're always aware of that, there's no fear. Fear only comes when you believe the world to be real. When the world proves to be an illusion, where's their fear? What in the world can upset you if you know the world is but a dream? You may say, well, it may be a dream, but I don't want to be hurt in the dream. I want my dream to be smooth and easy. I want to be happy and harmonious and healthy. If you think in those terms, you are not aware yet of what consciousness is. Consciousness transcends all of that. Consciousness is divine harmony. None of those things exist. I realize that's hard to comprehend. The worst things can appear to happen to my body, to my affairs, to my life. Yet, I am aware that it's not happening. I am not imagining it's not happening. I am not repressing it. I am not saying to myself, Robert, you've got to see only the good. It's beyond all that. There's no good, there's no bad. It's total freedom, total liberation. Look at it this way. You have an idea of what God is because God's been brained into your head since you were a little kid. Can you imagine God having fear of anything? Or God going through any kind of experience? Or God saying, this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong. I'd rather have this than that. There's no duality in God. So, the universe is ultimate oneness. Ultimate oneness is another word for divine harmony. It is beyond all concepts and preconceived ideas. The human mind cannot comprehend it. Suffice it to say that all is well. It is when we begin to quiet the mind that you come closer and closer to this understanding. It's when the thoughts begin to stop, when they slow down, that you become more aware that all is well. And the reality comes to you by itself. As long as you keep identifying with the world and the things of this world, you can never know the truth about yourself. And again, you may say, well, I've got to function in the world. I've got to work. I've got to have a family. I've got to look after my interests. Who says you don't? But it has nothing to do with you. You have to understand that your body will take care of itself. The dream will go on by itself. you will do whatever it is you came to this earth to do. Without you thinking about it. Without you trying to make something happen. Without you trying to straighten out anything in this world. This is what I mean when I say be yourself. Just be yourself. Live in the eternal now. That's being yourself. Be spontaneous. Allow the world to unfold as it should. Do not be judgmental. Look at everything fresh and new, with awe. Have reverence for all of life. And ask yourself, who am I? Then things will begin to happen. The closest thing you can come to having an experience of quiet mind is chanting. Chanting has a vibration in the nervous system that actually causes the mind to slow down. There are many people who cannot do Atmavichara, self-inquiry, too long. And for those people who are practicing self-inquiry, sometimes you want to take a break. So put on a chanting tape and chant along with it to yourself or out loud. And you will find that you go deeper within yourself and the mind begins to become quiescent, still, calm. So let's do that right now, shall we? Some people tell me they like the talks better than anything else we do. Some people tell me they like the chanting better. Some people tell me they like the questions and answers better. Some people tell me they like the silence better. Remember what this is. This is satsang. It's not a lecture or a musical festival. Everything we do is important. Even if I spoke about the weather and nothing else, it's being at satsang that causes something to take place within your consciousness and lift you higher. There was once a holy man who died and went up to heaven. He came to the pearly gates and banged on the gate. And God came out and said, "What do you want?" And the holy man said, "I am your servant. I have come." And God said, "Sorry, there's no room for you here. Goodbye." And left. The holy man was perplexed. He sat down in front of the gate and started to ponder, "Why didn't God let me in?" And he sat for 2 years thinking, "Why couldn't I get into heaven?" And finally it came to him. So he banged on the gate again, and God came and said, "Who are you? What do you want?" The holy man said, "I am your servant. I have converted thousands of people on your behalf. I have preached the Bible to millions. I have done good deeds. Let me in." And God said, "Sorry, I don't care what you've done. There's no room in here for you." And went away. This time the holy man was really disturbed. He couldn't understand this. "Why won't God let me in?" he said. So he sat down in front of the gate again. Centuries passed. Remember, he was dead anyway, so it didn't matter. He was pondering why God didn't let him in. Then it came to him. So again he got up and he banged on the door on the pearly gates. God came out and said, "Who are you? What do you want?" And he said, "Lord, I am your humble servant, but I must confess my sins. I have had sexual affairs with my female devotees. I have eaten meat and told people I was a vegetarian. But I confess everything to you. Can I come in now?" So God looked at him and said, "I don't care what you did, there's no room for you now." And went away. Again, the holy man said, "What is this? I've done everything I can. I'm going to sit at this gate if I have to sit here for all eternity until I find out what the problem is." So he sat for years and centuries after century, pondering. "I confessed my sins to God. I confessed my good deeds to God. I want to get into heaven. Wait a minute. Who is this I? Who is the I that committed sins? Who is the I that committed good deeds? Who is the I that wants to get into heaven? Who am I?" And all of a sudden he started laughing. It came to him, he rolled over in laughter. And he got up and banged on the gate, and God came and said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am yourself." And God opened the gate and said, "Come in. There never was room in here for me and you." And so it is with us. We claim we want to be self-realized. We do not realize that we already self-realized. And we just have to let go of believing I am the doer. It makes no difference what you have done in the past. It makes no difference if you've done good deeds or bad deeds, as far as self-realization is concerned. Once you know the truth, you become free. The truth is, there is no past. There never was a past. The universe has no foundation. There's nothing to hold it together. Therefore, there's nothing that you have done that can keep you out of heaven, so to speak. Now remember, this doesn't give you license to go out and hurt people and rob banks and do whatever you think you want to do because it doesn't matter. That's not what I'm saying at all. As far as you're concerned, as long as you believe you are the doer and you are the body-mind phenomena, everything you do has to be accounted for. The Lord of Karma is going to get you. As long as you believe you are human and you are the body, then you can't get away with anything. For you're under the law of cause and effect, karma. And you have to deal with the personal God, Ishwara, Henry Lex Ishwara, good friend of his.
That's your dream.
As long as you believe you are human, you are the doer, and you are a personal I, then there's a personal God. And that's where prayer comes in. You can pray to your personal God, and you will be helped. Your personal God will take care of you if you surrender and submit to him or her, whatever your personal God is. But when you submit, you are giving up your ego, are you not? You're saying, I am nothing and you are everything. This helps you. As you keep going in that direction, one day you awaken to the fact that the God that you've been praying to is none other than yourself. For how can this God be separate from you? Where would he live? What would be his nature? You begin to understand, I am that. You find freedom in yourself. You begin to see that God is not within myself, actually. I am in God. What I call God is consciousness. I am conscious. I am aware. I exist. I am. And there's nothing else. You begin to see yourself as omnipresent. You are no longer limited to your body or to the personal I. You are broken through and you live in glory. Your job is to keep the mind from wandering. The mind has to be held by you to stop it from thinking, stop it from going berserk. The mind is not your friend. It makes you human. It makes you believe you are a body, separate. As soon as you can see that your body is an emanation of your mind, it has no existence whatsoever except in your mind, you also begin to see that the body of the universe is the same as your body. Therefore, it's a manifestation of mind. This brings a semblance of freedom. Bondage begins to break up when you can see this. You look at the world and you realize the world is the self. I am that self. There's nothing else. You want to share this truth with your friends, with your family, and with the associates, but you cannot. For there are no words to describe this. Everywhere you look, you see freedom. Everywhere you look, you see love. All the trivialities are gone. The judgments have dissipated. You have nothing to fear and nothing to fight. All is well. It comes as an idea. You ever see those cartoons of a light flashing when somebody gets an idea? Something like that happens to you. It's as if you were awakened from a long sleep. In this awakening, there's no past and there's no future. There's just beingness. You have just become yourself. You have not become anything foreign or anything strange. You simply awaken to yourself. and you feel wonderful. You have to ask yourself, who do I really think I am? And you can tell by the amount of sorrows or happiness or human endeavors that you go through. If you believe you are human, then you experience human happiness, human sadness. You go through human experiences. You can never know the self that way. But as soon as you stop reacting to your human goodness, there are people who tell me, I've never had a bad day in my life. So I tell them, you're just as stuck in your good days that you are in your bad days. For realization is not having good days. Try to understand that human goodness has nothing to do with this. Human goodness is karmic. And when the karmic patterns wear off, you will experience the opposite. You want to go beyond all understanding, beyond all conceptual thinking, beyond all intellectual concepts, beyond anything that is known to man. And of course, that silence everything leads to silence. It is in the silence that you experience pure awareness. It's in the silence that you experience bliss. It's in the silence that you are Hi. You are not anything that you can describe. You have become the pure Godhead. You have awakened. Why not awaken now? Why continue to play games? Wake up. Know who you are. Be yourself. Leave the world alone. Again, your body, as it appears to you, will function in the world. And it will do whatever it came here to do. But leave it alone. Do not interfere with the process. Do not react to any conditionings. Keep identifying with the self. The self is I am. You simply become aware that I am. And that's how you identify with yourself. You feel I am. I am. I am. If anything comes after that, inquire, to whom has this come? I am not this, and I am not that. I am. Even if the word God comes after I am, your mind is playing tricks on you. Ask, to whom does this come? The word God. I am will suffice. That's all you have to be, is I am. Everything else is redundant, superfluous. If your mind tells you, I am the body, again, inquire, to whom does this come? Whatever words are put into your mind, get rid of them. Listen to the silence. Listen to I am. Some people wonder if it's good to ask questions. Some people are afraid to ask questions because they think somebody will think they're stupid. Nothing can be further from the truth. The answer to that is yes and no. there's a certain point about this teaching you may be wondering about, something you didn't understand. So you should ask a question. On the other hand, if you're coming here with the right attitude, all your questions will be answered from within yourself. Therefore, do not feel strange if you ask a question. It's all part of the teaching. There might be something going on that you'd like to know that I haven't covered. Therefore, feel free to ask any question about spiritual life or anything else. It doesn't matter what you ask. I don't have the answers, but you can ask anyway.
Have you found a deepening as you continue a deepening of the experience of yourself? Has it deepened as time has gone by, or has it been the same? In other words, when a person realizes that, does it continue to deepen and mature with time, or?
There is no deepening involved. You either become awakened or you're not. But on the other hand, the appearance is you become more peaceful on the path. And all the things that used to disturb you seem to dissipate.
So there is a process as realization occurs, there is a sort of process.
It's not really a process for realization.
Yeah.
It's a process for yourself to become a better person. That awakening comes by itself. And it has nothing to do with that. But the appearance of what you said happens also.
As a better person, you continue to be a better person after that self-realization?
No, not after. After self-realization, there's nobody left to be a better person. The better person comes before. On the other hand, there have been thieves, murderers, who have all of a sudden, for one reason or another, become self-realized. It depends on the person. But again, you're either awake or asleep. There's no in-between. Once you wake up, you realize that you've always been awake. There never was a time when you were not. But before that, you go through all kinds of games and rituals and experiences. Sometimes. It all depends on the maturity of the person.
What if a person is immature? And they have, as you say, a realization of self. That immaturity, does that heal in the course, in the presence of self-realization? Is that maturity healed? Is that immaturity healed? And so the person becomes more established in their...
If a person awakens, there's no question of immaturity. Those questions are gone. For again, there's no one left to be mature or immature. You're just awake. And all concepts are finished. All the things we're talking about go on before awakening. But once awakening comes, there's no question.
So those beings,
That's okay.
Those individuals, the so-called sinners, who suddenly have realization, What happened to all those samskaras, the tendencies? Were they burnt up in that realization?
Completely burnt up. They never existed. Is the bubble gone?
And is even the bubble gone?
There's no bubble.
There's no bubble.
Because there's no one to experience the bubble.
You said that the divine harmony was part of the bubble. Or did you?
I didn't say it like that.
You did say that?
I didn't say it exactly like that. There appears to be a bubble, which is the manifestation of the world. But the bubble bursts, and then there's total freedom. The bubble is the world. It's like a bubble, like a dream. Once someone breaks the bubble, the dream is over, and you're free. So where's the need of a bubble? There has to be someone to experience the bubble. When there's realization, the experiencer and the experience both have been transcended. In other words, there's no one to experience anything.
The experience of freedom either.
That's right. Freedom is only a word that's spoken before realization. For whom is there freedom when one is realized? One becomes freedom. There's no such word for the realized person. Walk over and wake you up. As far as I'm concerned, you're already awake. But you have to be able to see it yourself.
Can one person do that for another person? Or help another person to wake up?
That's very rare, but it's possible. That usually happens to a person who in many lives has been on a spiritual path, a high path. And then through a touch or a glance, they go all the way. And they break through Maya and become free. That's possible, but very rare. And as far as asking if I can do that, there is no I left to do anything. If I did something like that, there would be a me and a you. But there's no me and there's no you. There's only ultimate oneness. So I have no reason to do that. If you can understand, there's one self. There's no one who has to do anything for anyone else. The doing is part of the dream. When the awakening comes, there's only one. There's no door. People who do things like that are yogis. And jnanis never do things like that. Yet there are people who claim that that's happened. Many awakened people in the time of Ramana Maharshi used to claim that when he looked at them, we touched them by mistake. It caused an awakening for us. He denied everything. That's why that appears as the maturity of the individual. Anything is possible.
Is eating a non-vegetarian diet cause the awakening to take longer or prevent it?
As far as I'm concerned, it's morally correct to be a vegetarian. The quality of the soul becomes purified. And you come closer to realization. Eating meat makes the human body gross and pulls you down to the earth. That's why they speak of the three gunas and all spiritual teachings. Meat is of tamasic qualities, which are the lowest qualities of human being. Therefore, it's better not to eat meat. Your thinking becomes clearer. You become more purified. And you're able to absorb the higher teachings. Spiritual aspirants should eat sattvic foods, which are grains, fruits, and vegetables, mainly some milk now and again, and should eat small meals, and perhaps observe a day of fasting once a week. Food should not be very important to you. Whatever is set before you, you should eat. And not think about too much. People get lost in food these days. Which food is right, which food is bad. Which food makes you live long, which food makes you healthy. In the end, everybody drops it anyway. So it really doesn't make that much difference.
You said the soul becomes more purified. What is soul?
Soul is something that a human body thinks it has. As long as you believe you are human, then there's a soul that leaves the body after you drop your body. And it goes into the astral plane and plays games with itself. But as you begin to understand that I am not the body or the door, then for whom is there a soul? There's no body, there's no soul, there's no astral plane. There's only the self.
Isn't the soul identical to the self and it's purified of all mind?
No. If the soul were identical to the self, then that would be duality, it would be two. It would be the soul and the self.
And isn't the soul in the self?
No.
When it's purified of all personal eye and mind?
The soul can become purified. The soul is part of the personal eye. The self is soulless. Why would the self need a soul?
Then you're saying the soul is the mind.
The soul is the mind, the soul is the personal eye.
Okay.
All those things are manifestation of your own thoughts of the mind. But in truth, there is nothing but the self. And I am is that. We get caught up in all these concepts. What keeps us earthbound? For instance, in my diet, I eat grains, fruits, and vegetables. But I don't give much thought to it. My body automatically gets up and goes for the food it needs to sustain itself. Yet I have nothing to do with that. If you really knew you are not your body, that question would never come to you.
Pardon?
The question would never come to you. Due to the fact that your body will always take care of itself. Who grows the oranges in the orange tree? Who grows mangoes in the mango tree? Who grows the grass? Who takes care of the world and the earth? The same power that takes care of all the things on this planet will take care of your body. You don't have to worry about it. Everything will be okay. Your body will not walk into the street and get hit by a car. Unless you're daydreaming. You will be awake. Being awake is not being in a stupor and walking into walls or getting hit by a car purposely. Being awake is being aware. Everything just happens spontaneously. That happens better than you can ever imagine if you were thinking about it. Therefore, be yourself, and you will see what transpires. So I picked up a glass of water and I drank a little bit. I didn't think about it. It was spontaneous. I didn't say, I wonder if I'll be able to drink the water. Or I wonder if the water is pure and fresh. Or if the glass is going to break. It's the same with your body. When you stop thinking about your body, it will take care of itself better than you can ever do it.
Yeah. express verbally, oh, I'll never get this, or it seems so difficult, or it makes life change. He said, don't say that. Is this from knowing that our words have power, that our minds have power to create what we expect?
As long as you are in the physical plane, words and mind do have power. Your words come from your mind. When you say something negative about yourself, you are keeping yourself earthbound. Even if you make a mistake, realize you made a mistake and forget it and go forward. Do not dwell on the mistake. Do not dwell on the error. See what it was, correct it if you can, and go forward. But keep your mind on yourself, on I am, and you will find everything will go well for you.
In the Bible, it says in the beginning was the Word. Is that showing us, was that teaching meant to show us that our words are powerful, that they begin a process of...
Well, they're actually talking about the primeval word Om. The first current of creation was Om. That was the Word. And out of that came creation. So if you want to go back into creation, you chant Om, and you'll get to the cause of creation. But we teach, and we understand, that there never was a creation.
Except that when we're on this,
so you have to ask yourself, for whom is there a creation? And you will find out it never existed. No thing has ever been created. No, you're not doing that at all. You never want to tell yourself you're not realized.
No, we are realized.
Oh, you are realized.
Is that what we were saying?
What you're really saying is everything that you observe with your eyes is a manifestation of your own mind. And your mind doesn't exist. So there's nothing that exists. First you realize everything comes out of your mind. Everything. Everything. And then the realization will come that your mind doesn't exist. And you'll be free. The reason Ramana Maharshi said that is because people wanted to pinpoint him. They said, where is God located? Where is realization? So he pointed to the right side of his chest and said, the heart, the spiritual heart. That's only to make people realize at some place. But in truth, there is no heart. There's no spiritual harm. There's only the self. There's only absolute reality. But to those naive people who need a place to work from, you point to the heart center. You never had a body. So why would you want to feel things in your body? Anything that's felt in the body is part of the illusion of a body. Remember, when I'm speaking of your body, I'm referring to the body of the universe. For what you see as an individualized body, you will see many bodies. But when you realize there's one body, and that is the body of the universe, then everything becomes one. And then that goes. And there's no body whatsoever. And you become free.
Put so much on freedom.
We're not putting too much on freedom, it's just a word. It's a word to explain that you are not what appears to be. You're not bound to anything. There's no bondage. There's no limitation. Therefore, freedom is the word that expresses that. You are not earthbound, and you're not bound to your body. That's a lie.
But you're not bound to not have a mind either. You're not bound to anything. You can have a dream and not have a dream. Well, I mean, the minute you say, oh, it's not right to have a dream, it's not right to do this, it's not right to do that.
I'm not saying it's not right. I never use those words.
I don't mean you, but I mean it's kind of understanding. It kind of makes you nullify everything that is, and what is could be beautiful.
Anything that's beautiful in this world is temporary.
So, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that is you're living the mortal dream. And whatever is temporary has to come to an end. And then you will experience the other side. Unhappiness.
You experience everything?
You experience everything as a mortal being. But who wants to go through life experiencing good and bad? Bad and good, up and down. And then you have to die and go through all kinds of rituals and karmas and repeat it again and again and again. You want to get off the wheel and become everlasting joy, bliss, pure awareness, Satchitananda, Parabrahman. You want to go beyond what appears to be. Remember, it's your mortal self that sees the goodness and the badness of the world. So surely you don't want to stay in your mortal self. You want to go beyond. You want to go beyond yourself to eternity, to total bliss. But if you don't want to, then stay where you are. this is why I always say, everyone's in the right place. There are no mistakes. I'm merely voicing where I'm coming from. You can listen, or you don't have to. You can practice, or you don't have to. The choice is always yours. See, our relationship is different than what you think it is. It's not a guru-disciple relationship, really. I am nobody's guru. I am just here. And you can look at me any way you like. I didn't ask to be a teacher. It just happened. So here I am, and here you are. What are you going to do about it? You can shoot me. You can do whatever you like.
Cream puffs.
Piston with cream puffs.
With a pie. You suggested last week we hit you with a pie.
Do that.
I'll buy two pies for anyone that will.
Look out on Easter. We'll have a lot of pies
around. When you said, here I am, here you are, and I talked to him, I said, how did I get here? And I didn't remember, and I still don't remember how I got here. I know intellectually there's something that could be told to me from my mind, but I'm not connecting to my intellect at the moment. It's a very strange state of affairs.
From this orientation, from your orientation, or whatever orientation is happening around here, is there any value to heart-centered experiences?
Heart-centered experiences? Yes. Because a heart center experience fills you full of bliss and makes you realize there's something higher and there's something else taking place. It lifts you up. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Aside from nothing being wrong with it, it is perhaps useful for the process of liberation.
Nothing is useful for liberation except realizing I am. Every experience you have, including your heart center experience, you have to inquire and ask to whom does it come. Eventually everything has to go, including all spiritual experiences. If you truly wish to repent, just sit in silent meditation and see the perfect reality within. For all manners of error merely arise in erroneous thought, and like the morning dew before the rising sun, can perfectly be eliminated through the benevolent light and wisdom. We have some announcements, Ed.
By popular demand, Easter Sunday Bhandara has been moved from 2 to 6. By the way, there's a new talk back there, of Robert's talks. And beginning next week, we're going to handle designer loincloths as part of the kit.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So. That's
a
new dress code?
That's a new
dress code. Right.
Another announcement. It's Edward Musica's birthday today.
Oh!
He's a big mom.
Happy birthday.
Before never having been born, you're having a wonderful birthday.
Let's sing happy birthday. Happy
birthday, dear.